Hello.
It is January 2026, and what that means is pretty much every piece of content that we have lined up for you this month is going to be about some form of topic and how you should approach it this year. Today, it's going to be the recipe for a winning B2B SaaS paid ads strategy in 2026. And the reason we're going to approach this is I audited and analyzed probably somewhere in the region of maybe 50 different ad accounts last year and realized that most B2B SaaS companies are burning a lot of cash on paid ads just because they skip a lot of the boring stuff. They try and jump straight to tactics when really what works is actually getting your house in order first. And so this is where we're going to start. Before launching any campaigns, we want to nail three things. So number one is we want to get our targeting right. LinkedIn's native targeting is pretty good, but it is flawed. And so what I recommend is to actually use a tool like Primer or Clay to build a list of companies that match your ICP and then send that into the platform. It's going to be much more accurate. And the way that you want to approach your kind of targeting strategy in 2026 is to push around 80% of spend to proven segments. So those are the segments that drove the highest contract value, the highest close rates last year, 80% of spend there. And then you want to put around 20% of spend to testing new segments. And the reason that I recommend this split is that a lot of companies will come into the new year, potentially haven't had a budget increase, but they will have had a request from the sales team and the CEO or the CFO, whoever, to start targeting some new segments. And if you don't have additional budget for that, what's going to happen is you actually pull budget away from segments that are definitely going to generate pipeline and put it into segments that are not definitely going to generate pipeline. And what that can mean is there should be becomes much harder to hit pipeline goals because those usually have gone up as well, which is fine. There's always efficiencies in accounts that we can find to lower cost per acquisition, but you definitely don't want to start off on the wrong foot. So once we've got the targeting in place, then it's time to figure out the messaging strategy. And so I've been talking about this a lot over the last 3 months. So the regular followers, this isn't going to be a surprise, but you should be pulling first call transcripts. Really important that it's first sale call transcripts as well, because that's where your audience talks about the most painful problems that they're experiencing right before reaching out to become an in-market. And so I've moved my thinking to go for the last 12 months because it's the most up-to-date. And if you're really high volume, you can even switch that to the last 3 months. But you probably want someone originally like 20 to 50 closed one to analyze just to get some statistically significant insights there. Once you have that, generate a list of those common pain points, drop it into a Google Sheet or equivalent Notion file, whatever you use, and then build out a POV on every common pain point that prospects mention. So what's your POV as a company on that problem? How do you help solve it? What's the solution? Once we've got that, then we need to get the plumbing set up correctly. So the first one is attribution. All of us struggle, I think, to prove marketing's effectiveness. What I would recommend as a minimum is having some form of multi-touch attribution tool in place. Dream Data, we also use Fibbler. Both of those tools are good. Dream Data's use case is that it has a lot of channels that it can analyze, and it can also connect with review platforms like Capterra, like G2, which can give you a really deep understanding by a journey across multiple touch points. Whereas Fibbler really specializes in LinkedIn ads. And I believe this year they're also developing Google Ads and Meta Ads attribution. The next part is going to be self-reported attribution. This is going to be tricky, and not every business is going to be able to pull this off, depending on what the alignment like with the sales team. But with this self-reported attribution, even if you can just get that for the close one deals, that's going to be really valuable to you. Just make sure that when you're using it to analyze what's working and what isn't, there's definitely some recency bias to that self-reported attribution. So they're going to put a higher weight to the touch points that they've viewed recently, which is good to know, because then you know which touch points work best for in-market prospects, but it's not necessarily going to tell you what's building trust earlier in the buying journey. With that, the next is to get tracking in place. You wouldn't believe how many companies just don't have what I would call like the minimum viable kind of tracking set up. Almost always the website form conversions are set up correctly, but what's missing is something called offline conversion tracking. And that's where we send CRM data like MQLs, SQLs, closed one into the ad platforms so that we can understand what campaigns, keywords, etc. are actually leading to pipeline and leading to close won revenue. That's going to be really important when we come to the measurement phase of this. And also supporting that attribution helps you build a more compelling narrative about the value that marketing's bringing. And so one thing to keep in mind with the conversion tracking when you send those conversions into the ad platforms is you want to set your conversion windows to the max. And so Dream Data, I think, highlighted that the average first LinkedIn ads impression to closed won revenue is like 320 days. And so if you're using 7-day attribution windows, 28-day attribution windows, even 90-day attribution windows, it's missing a lot of the buyer journey. And potentially, you know, you're not going to be able to optimize what's working best in the platform. You're also not going to be able to kind of connect the dots of platforms that maybe have more supporting role in pipeline like LinkedIn ad. With LinkedIn, I think the maximum you can set that to is 365 days. So that's what you should set it to. On Google, it's going to be 90 days. So it's still going to cut off a big chunk of the buying journey. But I think fortunately with Google ads, prospects tend to click those later in the journey anyway. So that 90-day window should capture a lot of the value that those are bringing. So that's it for getting the house in order. From there, we want to make sure that we have the platform budget split in a place that really makes sense. This is a little bit art, a little bit science. The way that I would approach this is first just look at how are we performing in these different platforms to understand how much we can actually scale them. On Google Ads, if you're already running high intent keyword targeting, you want to have a look at search impression share. So search impression share is going to tell you of all the available searches, what percentage of the time do you show up? If it's under 10%, you only show up 10% of the time. That means there's loads of room to scale budget within Google Ads in a way that you can continue to scale pipeline. Whereas if your search impression share is at, say, 90%, you're pretty much close to maxed out. And any additional spend that you put into the platform probably won't even use it. And so that means that the next step is you could look at introducing new keywords to target, or you could look at channel expansion, which we'll get onto in a moment. For LinkedIn ads and understanding whether or not you can scale that, you'll want to look at, in particular, audience penetration and frequency over a 90-day period. And so if that audience penetration is lower than 80%, frequency is lower than 10, that means you actually have some room to scale with that audience. It means you can put more spend in, you'll reach new prospects, and those new prospects, potential pipeline in the future. If you're already above 80% audience penetration and you're already above 10 frequency, pushing more spend into LinkedIn is probably not going to get you a return, because all that's going to happen is it's just going to spend your money while increasing the frequency, which means it's not getting in front of any new prospects. And so you're not potentially not going to get any additional pipeline. With this, that's really when the signal is it's time to start thinking about, you know, some new segments or potentially some new channels. In terms of the split between how you split the budget between channels, again, it's going to depend on what performs best for you, but I would recommend a starting point of around 60% of budget to LinkedIn ads, 40% to Google ads. The reason for this is LinkedIn ads has a lower CAC. It's more kind of infinitely scalable, because with LinkedIn ads, you can always experiment with new audiences up to a point. And LinkedIn ads also compounds over time more than Google ads does. So Google ads is really going after in-market prospects, whereas LinkedIn ads is building those memory structures so that prospects who aren't in market right now think of you when they move in market in the future. So that's the off-platform stuff that we need to do. And so as soon as we come into the platforms, we need to start optimizing for the 95-5 rule. And so I talked a lot about this last year. I'm going to continue to talk a lot about it this year. And that's the idea that building your campaign structures and ad platforms around the traditional marketing funnel is actually hurting performance. This idea that you can push somebody into a sale, I mean, it can happen, but it's very unlikely and it's very, very difficult in B2B. And so what we know is from data is that 95% of the audience is out market, 5% of the audience is in market. When we're in LinkedIn ads, for example, we want to put around 80% of LinkedIn spend towards saturating our total target audience with that pain point focused content that we talked about earlier. The key benchmarks we want to aim for with this are high audience penetration. So the gold standard or the diamond standard, as we like to say in client news, is going to be 80%. 60% audience penetration, and then also 10 plus frequency. What that's going to do is, by targeting that much of the audience, you kind of increase your luck surface area, but you get in front of in-market buyers right now. And this does work. So we tested it in November with a completely cold campaign to an audience we'd not run ads to before, hit that high audience penetration, high frequency, and ended up getting 8 high intent SQLs from that. So you can run this play and get pipeline pretty quickly if you do it right. But the other benefit is, because you're also hitting a large chunk of the audience that's out market, over time, you're going to see that these ads actually start converting. An example of that is, we still have ads that we launched in January last year getting attributed close run revenue even now. So that's like 12 months later. On the retargeting / in-market side, it's very, very difficult to target in-market buyers specifically. It's hard to know who's in-market and who's out-market, but there are some signals that we can use. I know tools like Vector, for example, are really good at looking at some of the common signals like job changes, recent investment rounds, and piking those audiences into your platform. So that's definitely worth experimenting with. But in terms of first party data that you have available, definitely want to be retargeting any high intent page visits. That's like product pages, feature pages, capability pages, pricing pages, demo pages, that sort of stuff. And for the love of God, definitely target existing pipelines. I've worked with so many companies where, as soon as the lead moves into the SQL phase, they don't want anything to do with it and they exclude it from targeting. These are the most important audiences to target, because they're the ones closest to a purchase decision, and the deal's not won until the deal's won. It depends on the structure of the company, but for most companies, whether they say it or not, it's going to get to the end of the year, and the way they're going to view marketing success is whether or not the revenue goals will hit. And this is one of the best ways to ensure that you hit the revenue goals. And so there's lots of data out there from many of the top players in the B2B space that targeting pipeline increases close rates, increases for its contract value. We've seen it on client new stuff. I also saw it on client accounts I worked with before I moved onto internal marketing for us. One final strategy that you can test here that also worked really well for us is retargeting the entire buying committee. So I would say, for most businesses, unless you have an abundance of budget, you don't want to be targeting the wider buy-in committee. That's not like the main champion that gets in touch with you in the first place. You don't want to be targeting those in the kind of cold layer, because it just costs a lot of budget for somebody that's not going to reach out to you. And actually, you can do a lot of the work to build a trust within that buy-in committee pretty quickly with some high audience penetration, high frequency targeting. In terms of setup, I would recommend using engagement, video views, and awareness objectives. And for most B2Bs, generally steering clear of website clicks and conversion campaigns. It's not that they don't work, it's just that because everybody uses them, the CPMs are sky high. And what that does is just inflates CAC, because you can reach fewer buyers. So for us, we saw that, for example, using the brand awareness objective, CPM was really, really low. And we were able to drive more, like a significant amount more conversions from it than we were able to with the conversions objective. Again, just because we're able to increase that look surface area that we're getting in front of in market buyers. That's kind of it for the setup on LinkedIn ads. On Google ads, you really want to, for the most part, use that only for high intent search. And so what I would recommend is, if you already have the data and you already have that offline conversion tracking in place, use that as the starting point to have a look at which keywords are already converting to pipeline and push more spend into those. If you don't have that, you'll want to use a tool like Ahrefs or Semrush to find transactional and commercial keywords. Those are the keywords that keyword analysis tools deem in-market buyers would potentially search for. When you have that list of keywords, you want to start with exact match. This is very, very important. If you layer in phrase match or broad match, it's going to put your ads in front of a lot of low quality inventory, which is going to lead to a lot of leads that sales hate, which is potentially going to worsen that relationship, which I know a lot of companies definitely don't need. What you'll want to do then is kind of, you can maybe start doing this sooner, depending on how well the campaigns take off. But after around 90 days, you've got your offline conversion tracking in place. That means you're going to start seeing which keywords convert to pipeline and which ones closed one. And you're going to want to take those best performers, the ones with the lowest acquisition costs, and you want to move them to something called an all-star campaign. And with this all-star campaign, you're then going to want to push 60 to 80% of your search budget there, and then leave the rest for kind of testing these new keywords. And what that's going to do is drive down overall acquisition costs from Google search ads. It's going to increase pipeline from Google search ads because you're centralizing the budget around the keywords that are most likely to convert. So that's it for the kind of platform setup. In terms of the way that you approach creative, I would generally recommend steering clear of generic branded ads for the most part, and especially with that kind of like broader audience targeting. The reason for that is, for us, our branded single image ads had a 4 times higher acquisition cost in 2025. So they were the worst performers by miles. And that was even with the fact that I think we did a great job of creating them. Like, some of those had like 3% click-through rates, which is insane. But even with those strong click-through rates, it still just didn't translate to as much pipeline as we could get from running what I'd call like native formats. And so the three campaign types that I'm really, really bullish on in 2026 is ungated document ads, thought leader ads, and CTV ads. And the reason I'm bullish on them is because not a lot of companies are running them, especially in combination with the campaign objectives that we talked about. So that means, again, the CPMs are much lower. And so you can get in front of much more of an audience, which just increases that look surface area, but you're going to convert them to pipeline. The other benefit is that you're just going to see much higher engagement rates and dwell times too, which is going to build that recall and mental availability, sort of out market prospect. Think of you when they move in market. When it comes to retargeting, we actually did find that the single image ads worked a little bit better there because we'd already built trust with the approach to those. I would just keep it simple. I think the best ads for us were either like cost of inaction ads or like promise of a desirable outcome. And so one of them was just an ad that talked about in Q3, 83% of our clients hit their goal that they agreed with us. And so that's a really compelling stat on its own. And so that worked really, really well. Well, in that retargeting layer where, you know, somebody's kind of weighing us up as an option versus different agencies, and having that proof that we can deliver what we say we'll deliver really, really helped generate some pipeline and close deals for us. One other campaign I'd recommend to add in there is spotlight campaigns. They're just really, really cheap for loads of extra reach. So I think we got like 80% reach from these spotlight campaigns, and it cost us like less than a couple of grand for the entire year. I do need to run some lift analysis on these to just kind of verify, but the kind of attributed data on those is wild. It looks like they're one of the best performing ad types, so definitely want to include that in the retargeting layer. On Google Ads, when it comes to creative, I think so many companies can just really, really overthink Google Ads copy. Google Ads is like a fast action platform. People do not read. I know everyone says people don't read anymore. I don't agree with that. I think people will read interesting stuff. They just don't think they're going to get it from a Google ad, so they're not reading it. What we found from just multiple tests over the last year is really just the target keywords in the headlines work best, and descriptions barely matter. So I don't think I've ever run a description. We definitely didn't last year, a description split test where, you know, we had a meaningful increase in conversions or clicks, for example, in 1 month. And then that was replicated the next time we tested it. It was really just random chance every single time. So that's kind of how to approach the actual ads themselves. Another thing that you want to keep in mind is just making sure that you match the landing page to the keywords. The reason for this is I always describe Google Ads as kind of like a jobs to be done platform. It's, it's not a pattern interrupt. It's somebody comes to it wanting to achieve a specific outcome. If you can't prove to them that you're going to help them achieve that specific outcome, they will just bounce and go to somebody else that can prove they'll do it. So those are the key things to focus on with creative. Now, I'm going to add, a little warning here. Just be careful with some of the new shiny AI tools that are coming out in these platforms. So on LinkedIn, steer clear of audience expansion. I've seen zero examples of that working. All of the peers in this space that I respect the most all say the same thing. That also goes for LinkedIn's ad network, which is not technically AI, but steer clear of those two things. All they're going to do is use more budget for low quality impressions that don't drive pipeline. I would also recommend just avoiding LinkedIn's AI campaign creation tool. entirely. Just don't use it. I've tried to use it. The output was just weak. If you're going to use AI for content, do it as part of kind of a considered workflow that you're feeding validated data into and really making sure that you put your own kind of shine on it. Otherwise, I would just stay player. On Google Ads, you can test Performance Max or AI Max, as we do actually have some B2B companies get pretty good results from it. But for most companies, and especially high ticket companies, so like 5-6 figure a month or year products, probably best to avoid Performance Max or IMAX, because there's usually just not enough volume being fed into it to actually make the algorithm work well. That said, as a general rule, lower cost, so think like less than $200 a month, product-led SaaS products, they do tend to see better results. Again, just since the volume is higher, barrier to entry is lower, there's usually a smaller buying committee with these, it tends to just make it much easier for the platform to figure out who to put the ads in front of and who to kind of avoid putting them in front of. One final thing on the AI front, I would say, again, you can test this. It didn't work for us at all. It's not worked for any of the clients I worked with over the last 2 years. Broad match targeting should be avoided pretty much at all costs. The only slight tweak I would say to that is we use it sometimes for something called keyword mining, which is we will find high intent keywords for your exact match that are performing well, and then layer in broad match for short periods of time just to see if it like pops up any keywords that we should be targeting that we're not already. And then if we see, you know, a specific keyword that's converting to pipeline consistently, then what we'll do is we'll actually pull that out, put it in as exact match, and then kind of get rid of the broad match targeting. So that's everything on the LinkedIn ads and Google ads front. And the reason I centralize this podcast on that is because those are typically the main channels most B2Bs are using. There's not many considering other channels unless, you know, they have huge budgets. I would also start this by saying for most B2Bs, you probably don't need to expand out of LinkedIn and Google. I would really focus on maxing those as much as possible. There's almost always a load of juice left to squeeze in terms of, you know, pipeline building awareness in those platforms. That said, there are some signals to follow that will tell you it's time to move into different channels. So if, for example, you've hit 80% audience penetration on LinkedIn, you're not considering targeting new segments, that can be a really good signal it's time to explore new channels, because what you're going to be able to do is kind of fill in the gaps of users who aren't active on LinkedIn with these other platforms. Because the chances are, you know, if they're not active on LinkedIn, then almost definitely going to be active on at least Reddit, YouTube, or Meta, a platform like that. On the Google side, what you want to be looking for is that you've kind of exhausted the, you know, the pool of high intent keywords, and they're all around the 90% plus impression share, or at least it's getting very, very difficult to increase the impression share any further because the space is so competitive. You just can't outbid all the different competitors. That's also a good sign that it's time to expand onto a different channel. In terms of the channels that you should consider looking into, I'd say Reddit's definitely one that's kind of taken off and a lot of companies are exploring. YouTube's another good one. What I like about YouTube is the same thing that I like about CTV ads, which is you can get some non-skippable inventory. What I like about non-skippable inventory is, you know, the user can't skip the ad. It's just much more likely to actually build recall. And I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but I also read some good data last year that is also the case with non-skippable inventory. So it's something good to try on YouTube. On Meta, you really just want to kind of mimic your LinkedIn ad strategy. They've actually introduced company email verification in the lead gen form too. So if you want to run some lead gen on there, that's something worth experimenting with. But for the most part, really want to kind of like mimic the LinkedIn ad strategy and aim for high audience penetration, high frequency. So with that, when you're approaching these channels, the number one thing to get right is the targeting. That is what's going to make or break pretty much everything that we're talking about today. And so you can, again, and use tools like Primer or Vector. I'm sure there's some other tools that you can use to do this, to actually send ICP audiences into those platforms, just to ensure that you're not wasting spend on low quality inventory that has no chance of converting to pipeline. So that's everything for the strategy. Once it's all in place, now we just need to measure what matters. And so what I would say is you can use some leading indicators to start out. So on the LinkedIn ads side of things, leading indicators to look at, where's audience penetration at, where's frequency at. You can also look at dwell time and engagement rate. So typically the ads that have the lowest, what I would call cost per 1,000 member accounts reached, you'll want to prioritize those. And there's a difference between CPMs and cost per 1,000 member accounts reached. So CPMs just tells you how cheap an impression is. Cost per 1,000 member accounts tells you how cheap it is to reach a unique user. And it's much more important to reach more unique users. So that's really what you want to be optimizing for. Look for those ads, look for those campaigns, have the lowest cost per 1,000 member accounts reached, create more of those. Especially if you're also seeing alongside that high dwell times and high engagement rates. That's what's to kind of look at before the pipeline starts coming in. But if we followed all the steps correctly, I would expect after 90 days that you do have some pipeline coming in. And so really what you want to do is you want to just be in the platform, looking at the conversions that are coming in and seeing which ads, which campaigns are actually driving pipeline, are actually, you know, driving closer on revenue. Create more of those. It pulls out the stuff that doesn't work. And then also, you know, bring in some new creatives to test as well. We always want to be testing new formats, and we always want to be experimenting with, you know, different ways of positioning things, just to make sure that the message is as strong as it can be in the current market conditions. And so I would say, again, 80% of spend is always going to the proven stuff that we know works. And then we have that 20% left over for testing the new stuff. We don't want to be completely overhauling ad accounts 2 to 3, maybe even 4 times a year, like a lot of companies do. All that's going to do is basically start using scrap every single time you do that, which is going to hurt performance in the long run. So on the Google Ads side of things, measuring success there, it's really the same process. Going into the platform, I actually built out a custom column set that shows me, leads, conversion into MQLs, conversion into SQLs, conversion into closed one, with the equivalent cost CPAs for each of those as well, so I can understand what's the cheapest. And again, it's just going to be about optimizing for the keywords and the campaigns within that are driving most SQLs for the cheapest and the most closed deals for the cheapest. And you can really just use, you know, we talked about the all-star campaign structure earlier. You can really just use that all-star campaign structure to do that fairly straightforward. Now, let's say you get to kind of 90 days of launching this strategy and it just doesn't feel like it's working. That's actually a signal that it's not working. So I think a lot of marketers love to say, you know, marketing takes time. It does, like some marketing takes time, but you should be getting pipeline. At the minimum, you should be getting pipeline within 90 days if you followed the steps right in this. And if you're not, that means something's broken. So it's either the targeting. If the targeting's broken, it usually means you're not reaching enough of the audience and, you know, often enough. So audience penetration will be lower than 80%, or frequency will be lower than 10. Often we go into accounts and we see like 5% audience penetration and 2% frequency. That's a huge problem. The other one could be that we just selected the wrong audience. And so if that's the case, and we want to go into the CRM and actually look at, okay, who's actually reaching out to us? And are we actually targeting people who look like those people? If not, that's how we're going to fix it. The other two things that could be broken is messaging or tracking. Messaging is pretty obvious to tell. When the messaging is off, you'll have low dwell times and low engagement rates. So that's fairly straightforward to kind of understand. What is low depends on the industry and the business type. But for the most part, if engagement rates less than 1%, dwell times less than like 5 seconds, I would say something's off. And we need to experiment with some new messaging in the creative to improve that. One thing I would say is where companies go wrong with messaging is they don't make it clear enough. So they'll try and maybe focus too much on making the message sound creative. If you've prioritized a clever tagline over just a really clear tagline, that would be the first place I would start. I would just create ads that say as clear as possible exactly the problem you solve and who you solve it for and how you solve it. Run that for a few months and it's probably going to perform like 10 times better than all the creative, clever stuff. Final thing to check on if you're not seeing results is just the tracking could be broken. So it could actually be working. You're just not able to prove it because the data is not connecting to the platform. So different ways you can do that. The platform will usually tell you if there's a problem with the way the setup is. If not, you know, if you don't have the kind of skills in-house to figure that out, that'd be one of the most important things I'd say to get a specialist in to look at, because that's really, really important to have like bulletproof data to help you improve things. So that's everything for 2026 winning B2B paid ads strategy. As always, if you enjoyed this, give us a follow, subscribe, hit like, share, all those good things. I'll catch you in the next one.